It is October 11th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of the content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday, we had a last-minute edit that slipped through and I missed, which made my comment about Columbus Day factually incorrect. The Volcker statement was made in 1979 and the Revco bankruptcy was 2005. The comment yesterday said the Volcker statement was made in 2005. My apologies for not catching this. There was great debate about the manner of my telling this story and confusion about it, and several rewrites were made, so, as they say, it happens. Hong Kong Exchange Chief Executive Nicholas Agusin has written a blog post titled, "What is Hong Kong's Future Role as an International Financial Center?" Today, the London Stock Exchange has published the final admission and disclosure standards for London Stock Exchange's voluntary carbon market designation. Don't forget that Altso's Rocktoberfest is in Chicago this Thursday, October 13th, and in New York on October 20. Are you or is someone you know interested in the graduate trainee program at Deutsche Börse? You can find out more about the program with a link in today's newsletter. Euronext is looking for a senior product developer for the Dutch and Belgian derivatives markets in Amsterdam. You can find out more details with a link in today's newsletter. There are many ways to battle climate change, but New Zealand has one of the silliest. They want to tax cow burps. There are 5 million people in New Zealand, but some 10 million beef and dairy cattle and 26 million sheep, the Associated Press reported. Based on that, I would blame it on the bleeding sheep. There is a story in the New York Post about Kevin Bacon and the lessons he learned losing all his money in the Bernie Madoff scandal. Kevin Bacon was separated from his money, and the lessons are strong enough that he should be awarded a degree for it. Aviation Carbon explores sustainability issues relevant to aviation leaders. The conference is October 17th through 19th in London, Heathrow, and some sessions are being streamed. You can learn more and register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki Education short of the day is Brian Kassin, rebranding in three easy steps. In this video from MarketsWiki Education's World of Opportunity event in New York, Brian Kassin, head of product and strategy with Vela Trading Technologies, breaks down the three steps in rebranding a company. Kassin uses Vela as a case study when going through the importance of rebranding, as it is the result of Wombat and SR Labs tie-up. Kassin says timing is everything, but having a clear message for customers is equally important. The most critical thing to remember is how to make sure your corporate brand can intertwine with your personal brand. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Government officials invest in companies the agencies oversee. Hidden records show thousands of senior executive branch employees own stocks in companies whose fates were directly affected by their employers' actions, a Wall Street Journal investigation found. Thousands of officials across the government's executive branch reported owning or trading stocks that stood to rise or fall with decisions their agencies made, a Wall Street Journal investigation has found. More than 2,600 officials at agencies from the Commerce Department to the Treasury Department during both Republican and Democratic administrations disclosed stock investments in companies while those same companies were lobbying their agencies for favorable policies. That amounts to more than one in five senior federal employees across 50 federal agencies reviewed by the journal. My comment, we have a slight problem with ethics policies and enforcement. Here's a story from Bloomberg. U.S. airport websites knocked offline by pro-Russia hackers. O'Hare and LAX are among websites that the group claims to have hit. LaGuardia's website suffered some delays for 15 minutes. A pro-Russian group is claiming credit for a series of disruptions that temporarily knocked the websites of some U.S. airports offline. The group called KillNet has engaged in a series of cyber attacks in recent months against Western targets, including incidents that temporarily rendered some state government websites offline last week, according to cybersecurity experts. The attack caused intermittent delays while accessing LaGuardia Airport's website for 15 minutes starting about 3 a.m., according to a Port Authority spokesman. There was no operational impact. My comment. Time for a hackathon directed at Russia. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Steve Cohen hired the best Mets money could buy. They were still the Mets. Mets only managed one hit in decisive Game 3 loss to Padres. .72's Cohen spent a league-leading $314 million on payroll. Steve Cohen's dream of bringing a third World Series to the New York Mets will have to wait at least another year. The team crashed out of the wild card round of the Major League Baseball playoffs Sunday night in an ignominious fashion, mustering only one hit in a 6-0 loss to the San Diego Padres in the deciding game of their best-of-three series. My comment, the Miracle Mets, they were not. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Ken Griffin's ex-wife also pulling up stakes in Chicago, a Lincoln Park mansion reportedly connected to the ex-wife of financial titan Ken Griffin is on the market at $9.5 million. A Lincoln Park mansion reportedly connected to Ann Diaz, the ex-wife of financial titan Ken Griffin, is on the market at $9.5 million. The home, an 11,000-square-footer on Mohawk Street, has for years been the address that Diaz claims as her residence in public records, according to the Chicago Tribune. A legal entity that conceals the owner's name purchased the mansion for $8.35 million in February 2016, a few months after Diaz quitclaimed her ownership in the two-story Park Tower penthouse that she and Ken Griffin co-owned during their marriage. My comment, more Griffin-related real estate for sale. Here's a story from the BBC. New Zealand proposes taxing cow burps to reduce emissions. Here's the story referenced earlier. New Zealand has proposed taxing the greenhouse gases that farm animals produce from burping and urinating in a bid to tackle climate change. The world-first scheme will see farmers paying for agricultural emissions in some form by 2015. My comment, excuse you, that will be $5. Here are the top three stories from Monday. Our top story Monday was John Reed Stark's LinkedIn post praising this Financial Times piece from brilliant Jemima Kelly and criticizing Web3 as benefiting, quote, mostly criminals seeking to shelter and hide their profits from ransomware attacks, drug dealing, terrorism, human trafficking, money laundering, and a slew of other financial crimes, unquote. Second was London's most expensive mansion is on sale again from Bloomberg about the Knightsbridge Mansion overlooking Hyde Park. Third was a tie between crash protection mode helps manage futures ETF crush rivals from the Financial Times and former crypto employees find a home in traditional finance from Bloomberg. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from Reuters. Regulators proposed first global rules before crypto winter thaw. Crypto asset companies should set aside capital like banks when undertaking similar activities, regulators proposed on Tuesday in their first global rules as a crypto winter wiped $2 trillion off the sector, leaving investors nursing losses. The Financial Stability Board, FSB, which coordinates the financial rulemaking among a group of 20 economies, G20, made 9 recommendations for members to apply. Currently, the sector is largely unregulated in most countries, having only to comply with rules for safeguarding against money laundering and terrorist financing, as regulators warn investors they risk losing every penny. Here's a story from Barron's. Coinbase and others could be broken up under Watchdog's proposed crypto reforms. An influential global financial watchdog has made a series of sweeping recommendations for the regulation of digital assets, including provisions that could potentially see Coinbase, Global, and other major crypto players broken up. In a letter to the group of 20, G20, finance ministers and central bank governors Tuesday, Klaas Knot, the chair of the Financial Stability Board, FSB, and the president of the Dutch Central Bank, warned over risks that crypto poses to investors and market confidence. And then finally, this story from Bloomberg. G7 to say it will stand with Ukraine for, quote, as long as it takes, unquote. Ukraine's allies will support it for as long as it takes, despite Russia's recent steps to escalate its war there. The group of 7 major industrialized nations plan to say in a statement later Tuesday. We reassured President Zelensky that we were undeterred and steadfast in our commitment to providing the support Ukraine needs to uphold its sovereignty and territorial integrity, the group said in a draft statement obtained by Bloomberg, referring to Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. We will continue to provide financial, humanitarian, military, diplomatic, and legal support and stand firmly with Ukraine for as long as it takes. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.